This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
Today's show is brought to you by Yo Radio, the first music and radio platform with stations curated and managed by artists and influencers from across the globe. From Drake Bell to Megadeth's David Ellefson to UFC star Uriah Hall, just to name a few. Welcome to Yo Radio. Yo Radio delivers the best listener experience and is completely free. From hip-hop to rock to blues to EDM, Yo Radio has the music you want at your fingertips. Download the app now in the App Store for Apple devices and in the Google Play Store for Android. Or just go to YoRadio.com. That's YoRadio.com.
The following podcast is scheduled for one fall, and there will be no disqualification. Making their way to the ring from lineupmedia.fm at a combined weight of 849 pounds, the Three Horsemen.
Independence Day Eve, and we're still here. We make all our shots. Every promoter, you can guarantee we're going to be there. The Three Horsemen. We may bring somebody else along. We did that today because we got Four Horsemen today. Because that's how we roll. Alex, T.O., Eric, Corey, here to talk about steel cage matches. Gentlemen, what's the good word on this Independence Day Eve? It's only like 100 degrees out.
America.
It's a hot one.
It is a hot one.
Now, what it's all about, though, it's supposed to be blistering hot on 4th of July.
I'd rather it be blistering hot than be pouring down rain.
What day did it just absolutely... Oh, Sunday.
Yeah, it destroyed us.
Oh, my God.
That was terrible, well, wasn't it?
Sunday and then the last Thursday, too, I think. I mean, because we... I remember having a fun little trip to the basement with my family. That was interesting. Daughter freaking out and...
Tornado warnings and shit the whole nine,
yeah.
Nothing like being old men.
Yeah, yeah.
Worrying about basements, worrying about getting your lawn cut. T.O., did you get your lawn cut?
I hate cutting the grass, man.
Oh, man, you do it a lot.
Yeah, about once or twice a week.
I like it. I like it a lot.
It might be too often.
Twice a week, really?
Twice.
Yeah. That's shit.
It's a big lawn. Shit grows while you're cutting it.
Have neighbors that, you know, you got to keep up with.
That's right.
You can't be the shaggy lawn on the block, huh?
No.
Not on that block. He lives among the hoi polloi.
Uh-oh.
That I do not.
High and tight is not just a haircut or a pitch in baseball.
Or...
Yep, uh-huh. Good one.
I like it. Uh-huh. Moving on.
My belly button.
He's here. I don't do it. My belly, too. Anyway, so we got July 4th coming up tomorrow. Happy Independence Day to everybody. America's in great shape.
Yeah, is that right?
But, I mean, that's for another show that we'll never do. I think of July 4th. I always think of the Great American Bash. But we're here to talk about cage matches. Okay. I'll throw this out, whoever wants to respond. Number one, what makes a good cage match? Number two, what did you expect when you saw a cage match?
Blood made a good cage match.
We're all agreed there, blood.
Because back in the day, you'd have a standard wrestling match, but then you'd think cage, you'd think, oh, there's got to be extra violence, there's got to be...
It's a blood feud.
Right.
I mean, like, it comes... That's what I draw to.
It's a blood feud. So you settled feuds. You'd have two matches. Somebody would interfere in the second one. So you had to have a cage match to keep everybody out.
It was a formula.
They used to follow those.
But not just for every feud. I mean, I bet...
At the top of the card.
The old NWA.
Oh.
You know, their formula was probably drawn out a little more.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of WWF doing a two-match, boom.
Yeah, you know, WWE, they do get a little bit of a rough go because now you look at it back with our eyes and we're older and it was like, oh, man, Yeah, that, it happened quick back then. No, not like it does now. It's, you know, 3 months and it's over. They draw it out, run-ins. Guys didn't have to be on TV every week. You'd be able to go.
Promos.
Yes.
They would do like, yeah, no, I get it. I get it.
I mean, God, that was the best part of NWA, too. I'm going back and watching Mid-Atlantic, which I know everybody loves, and it's just the matches are dreadful. Some guy getting beat up. It's for the, you're there for the interview. And then they would do the interview behind the cage. That was the best part.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you knew it was serious shit.
Those War Games promos are the best.
Yeah. I agree. You said blood, though.
Speaking of old school, people don't know what to think when you pull up to a stoplight listening to Bad Street USA.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of freaks some people out this morning.
Last House on the Block.
Was not good.
Further down the block, you want the batter it got?
The batter it got.
Is that how it goes?
Yeah, well, people are looking at me like I was a lunatic.
Oh, I like it.
That's a great song, though.
What's your favorite cage match, Corey?
Of all time?
Yeah, the one that sticks out the most in your mind.
What's your favorite cage of all time, too? I mean, there's a lot we could go with
here. I like the square cages myself and versus chain link.
The block cages.
Yeah.
Yeah, the blue cage?
Yes.
I'll agree.
Was that done for camera?
You're gonna tell me the Hogan thing, right?
No, I'm just asking.
No, but it's the Hogan rule, wasn't it? He couldn't get his foot inside
the side. Well, it's
because it's
the
giant
thing that's been
foot.
Out there. He couldn't climb the cage because he is such a great athlete.
Yeah. I also want to say, when we get to the end and we tell what's coming up next week, I've got an idea. Best cage match I've ever seen? Like, my favorite one to watch or favorite one I've been in person to see?
Take it how you want it, any way you want it. What's your favorite cage match?
Almost a tie because I was at it. Undertaker and Shawn Michaels at Hell in a Cell in 97. I'd never seen anything like it. It was the first time. Yeah. First Hell in a Cell. And it was just insanity. Great card. It just got me back into wrestling because I had stopped watching wrestling. Definitely stopped watching WWF. I was kind of getting into the NWO stuff a little bit. And, dude, those two put on a fucking clinic. And it was when Michaels had gone from, he had been a good guy for 2-3 years, and then he was doing that overselling when he was a bad guy. You know how he did just the
flop around?
Yes.
That's the fish shit.
Oh, my God. And it's stupid when you look back at it, but it was so good then. So that was good.
I still think it's funny to watch it. I mean.
It is.
I mean, not a cage match, obviously, but if you watch Michaels and Hogan at whatever SummerSlam within the last, I don't know, 12 years or whatever, and Michaels just oversells every single thing because of, like, behind-the-scenes stuff going on.
That's what I was
going
to say. He's doing it to be a prick.
Yeah.
That's the best part of it.
It's hilarious.
Very different.
Now, right. Correct, but...
And anyway. We'll get to what our... There are other types of cage matches. What's your favorite cage match, then?
My favorite was... where Mankind fucking went right through the bottom of it.
20th anniversary of his match, right?
Yeah.
Close to?
So, Taker and Mankind.
Yeah, it was
okay,
tons
I was gonna say,
because
he went through the cage twice.
He went through that. No, I mean, he went through the floor, you know, the ring.
Twice.
All the way through it. I didn't know twice. He went through twice.
I know you've listened to the last one with Pritchard, right?
No.
Okay. But it was,
that's
it was
how I knew it was
Taker.
A 20th anniversary, but I haven't listened to it.
The 20th anniversary just came up with that. They just did a show on it about
did
the
they?
Whole deal.
Good.
Yeah.
Was he supposed to go through?
Yep.
Oh, he was?
So how did they...
Oh, shit, you just fucking ruined it for me.
How did they avoid not going through that during the match?
They stayed away from it. I've watched that 1,000 times to see. I'm like, did they ever step on that? Never stepped on it. You know how you could see the zip ties coming out?
Yeah.
He was supposed to choke slam him, and the cage was supposed to give a little bit.
It didn't, though, right?
No, he just went straight through it. Right. So he was supposed to do it once, give a little bit. Do it twice, give a little more. By the third time, he was going to, like, roll.
So there was going to be sagged a little bit, too, so the fall wasn't as much?
Yeah, he would hit the cage and
then
boom,
went.
Finally fallen. Or hit it and rolled off to the end of the ring.
But instead, he's got choke slam through down, so there's more velocity, more.
Did he get seriously injured, do you know?
Well, knocked his the chair came that was laying on that cage and hit him in the face.
Tooth went in his nose or something?
Well, he inhaled it and it came back out through his sinus cavity.
Yeah. Jesus Christ.
His kids were sitting ringside, right? Was that that? No, that was...
That was when he took 19 chair shots to the face.
That was against The Rock.
That was really smart.
Yeah.
What a good idea.
Daryl says No Way Out 2000. That's the other time he went through the cage.
No, hey, Daryl, you're very right because I love that match.
It's a great match.
And that's the only reason you're right, Daryl. Sorry. I didn't mean it like that. That is a very good match. Those guys beat the shit out of each other. Good match.
So Noelle Foley's well adjusted after watching her dad get beat into oblivion because she's dating a fucking clown now.
Very true.
It's crazy, man. Like know, like the injuries that he got that weren't like he busted that knocked his tooth out.
He's the most normal wrestler from that era. Like he's the only one that's not like whacked out on drugs. No, I mean, like he's still a smart, educated. I mean, like well spoken
or anything like that.
No, I mean he's New York Times bestselling author. I mean, like the guy does
Mick Foley,
ton of shit. Yeah, he has a charity that he's really involved with. Like one of the few good guys of that era.
Yeah,
fuck, one of the few guys that are left from that era.
Do you like that match just because he got thrown off the cell?
Well, yeah.
So it was the high spots that you liked, the two spots.
Of course, because I don't know. It was exciting, but it wasn't. That just was like when you're watching that and it happened, you're like, "Holy shit!" First time you ever saw it. I mean, it sticks out in your mind. You know what I mean?
It helps that Ross and Lawler sold the crap out of that. Too.
Well,
I mean,
two best commentators right there, Ross and Lawler. I mean, you'll never forget JR through hell, fire, and I can't get that. That won't come out of my head. It's Kane. No, but I'm saying, think about
it's
that.
Kane.
That his commentary was fucking golden, man. Golden.
They brought up a great point on Pritchard's. They said, you know, once they did that, they almost made the Hell in a Cell like, oh shit, what do you do to top that?
Can't top it. The shock factor of that.
Because like
that's why it's so That's why it's so memorable.
Yeah.
What built up to the Hell in a Cell, though? What was going on in the feud that led to it being a Hell in a Cell? Do you remember?
Who?
The first one with Michaels, Undertaker. What was going on in the storyline that they had to put the roof on top of it?
There wasn't a... I don't know if they needed to
Did someone climb a cage before and that's what happened? I mean, like, was there... So they didn't even make a storyline up like that to where, like... A cage could not contain this because
they had a match the month before at In Your House, and I couldn't tell you what happened in it. That was that memorable. I really don't know what happened.
Well, it just goes to show you, though, because I mean, whenever their first Hell in a Cell, obviously it was a new thing, a new gimmick. It was a new type of cage, and it obviously did its job because I mean, like you said, In Your House, the pay per view before, I don't remember what happened, but we remember the next one, same two guys.
Very true. And I don't...
But do you find
it was a takeoff on the War Games and the cage they did in Georgia for Sawyer and Rich.
But do you find the irony and the Hell in a Cell of keeping these two inside? That's what the cage match was always about, getting out, keeping the match inside. And every Hell in a Cell match, they end up on top of the cell?
Not everyone.
Mostly, no.
Yeah.
But, like...
Well, now the goddamn thing's 12 stories high.
That's just...
I mean, it's fucking huge.
Weird. Right. It's just a weird, weird thing now because, like, the matches take place outside the ring. Like, even cage matches now, like, when we were kids, like, the big theme was climb the cage, get out, you win.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's pinfall.
In WWF.
Yes. Like, there's a lot of different... Like... I don't like that.
Well, nobody else had that either. WWF is the only organization that you could climb out of the cage and win.
Which is like a chicken shit heel move. That like that's the only people that should have done that to win the match. But just
it keeps the guy from getting pinned. That's what you keep heat on somebody.
Yeah, just
No,
I'm just saying like Hogan climbing in the cage and getting over. Like, why do you have your big star baby face? Climbing. I mean, I beat his ass so bad he's down for the 30 seconds it takes my doofy ass to climb over a cage.
Well, I also like that guys always tried to get out through the door for 20 minutes, and then at the 21st minute, they're like, I'm going to climb out now.
Yeah. It was just the... And again, if people ripped apart... You know, we talk about how bad the product is today and the inconsistencies and the insulting your intelligence. like just with stuff that goes on in the match and in-ring psychology. That should happen back in the day too. Like,
oh, I
what
totally
you just
agree.
Said. Like, people would pick apart some of the old shit that's considered classic stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right. I don't know what to say to that. Right, because you're
you
right.
Put it, you put anything on the internet, somebody's going to shit on it. That's,
no,
that's just how that goes. Right,
favorite cage match?
Magnum and Tully. Starrcade 85.
I quit. And did and Tully never said he quit.
He just, yes! Yes!
Great match. Breaks apart the wooden chair. Drives the stake in his head. It's good stuff.
I mean, literally, I mean, you can see as he's driving the stake in his head, Tully's also got a blade at the same time. Like, you can see him slowly, like, cutting himself and just blood dripping. It just...
It's a great match. Now, that had a reason. That had Baby Doll dressing up as a cop. That had, I mean, and then Magnum TA dressing up as a cop. That had a bunch of shit. They were so much better at TV back then. But I have to, that's another great, you guys have pretty much named my top five TO. What's your favorite cage match of all time?
I'm reading Daryl here. He's got a lot of stuff going on. In your house, Ground Zero. I remember the feud started when Michaels hit Taker with a chair by accident when Taker fought Brett.
It was SummerSlam.
And he's saying Lesnar versus Taker at No Mercy 2002 Hell in a Cell match.
That was
a, good.
That was a bloodbath.
Nope. Don't, never
don't remember
saw
that one. Yeah. Mm-mm. That's what's it.
Taker bladed too deep, and he was just like.
Hit a gusher?
Oh, yeah.
Did he?
Yeah. The whole match.
That's good times. What's your favorite TO?
I'm trying to think.
I didn't mean favorite. To bring up. I feel like I brought up Hell in a Cell too quick, and thank God you brought back to regular.
Well, I mean, it's like the like. I mean, the favorite, like the most iconic cage thing to me is Snuka,
right?
Standing and doing that off the top. So like, I can't say the match itself, but that you know that's tied right there with Foley going off the top of the cage as mm-hmm. far as spots.
Mm-hmm.
There was. I'm wanting to say a SummerSlam with Brett and Owen. It was a great match.
Right.
In the early 90s, mid-90s?
94.
I remember watching that.
Daryl brought that up, too.
Mm-hmm. Did he? But that was, I mean, like that was still more of a technical match inside a cage. But like, I just like that match. I like the psychology of it, the brothers. But, I mean, War Games tops everything. Like, you can pretty much put every War Game, if you're going to do a top 10 list, they're all going to be in there for the most part.
Yeah.
Is it because of the buildup? Is it because of the characters in it? Because I guarantee you right now, if WWF or WWE right now did War Games, it'd be a shit show.
I think it was a combination of the fact that you had all of these, like, it's pretty much the equivalent of having, like, your face all-star team versus your heel all-star team and putting them in a cage. And each one's going in one by one, and so it keeps the dynamic for the whole match going up to the point where they're all in, and from that point, it's, you know, there's always something to see.
Sorry, Daryl. I was going to call Daryl the Fifth Horseman. He said we need to put him on the show. I agree with you. I think I like the original because the Road Warriors were going to be done. I was like, all right, these guys are going to beat the shit out of the horse. I was 5 years old. Shit, give me a break. What? Okay, we keep talking about cage matches. We've got them listed. San Martino and Zbyszko at Shea, Backlund and Snuka, where he came off the cage and missed. Snuka Morocco, where he came off the cage and hit after he had lost. Flair and Harley at Starrcade. Hogan and Bundy at WrestleMania 2. I mean, I saw Hogan and Bossman in St. Louis in a cage. He didn't do the spot where he did the superplex off the top of the cage, which check out the network. Go to that Saturday night's main event where he does that.
It's on YouTube.
Oh, my. Is it on YouTube?
Yep.
Oh, my God. How have they not taken that down? Ultimate Warrior.
Well, they
Rick
will
Rude.
Know.
Yeah, they will know.
Sorry.
Warrior Rude was another good one. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Well, okay. So, one you skipped over just to touch on real quick. We keep bringing up cage matches that resolve feuds. How about Flair and Von Erich that catapulted the Von Erich Freebird feud? That's what started it all.
You guys know what we're talking about here?
Mm-hmm. I do not. No.
It was the
give the back
the Freebirds coming into
WCCW.
Yeah.
Yes.
So you've got the Von Erichs, Texas wrestling. It was big time wrestling for the longest time. Then became WCCW in the early 80s. Mm-hmm. You've got Von Erichs and Freebirds that were, you know, buddies at the time. And so you've got Flair coming in, had a series of matches with Von Erich over the course of.
Which Von Erich was it at the time?
Kerry. So
this is when Kerry was getting the push down there as going to be the Von Erich to carry the torch.
Yeah, I think David had taken off for Florida after a fight with Fritz right around this time.
And so you had Flair and Von Erich had already had a series of matches. Flair would lose by DQ or whatever the case may be. So they're just like, okay, we're going to put Flair and Kerry in a cage. There's not going to be any outside interference.
Was Hayes the referee in this?
Yeah. And
yep.
What happened was, we're going to take this one step further. We're going to let the fans vote on who they want the referee to be. So they voted for Hayes. So
wait, whoa. What do you mean voted with air quotes?
Voted.
Uh-oh.
You mean they didn't actually vote? Wait a minute. I'm looking this up. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead with this bullshit story where they didn't vote on the actual referee.
All right, so...
Sorry, I didn't mean to throw you off.
You're good.
You think one of the brothers would have won the voting.
Yeah.
In a promotion ran by their father.
Maybe Mike would have won it. I'm not going to speak ill. Go ahead.
So, fast forward in the match. Hayes decks Flair. He wants Kerry to pin him. Kerry doesn't want anything to do with it, so they start tussling a little bit. Hayes is leaving the cage... Terry Gordy slams the cage on Kerry. The crowd loses it. And so at that point.
And like fucking loses it. Like trying to get at him. Like.
Oh, no shit.
Like borderline riot.
You have to watch the old videos of this time in wrestling down in Texas. Because, it was insane. Like when the Von Erichs would come to the ring, I'm not kidding you. Like, women would just grope them and kiss them. Like, and they weren't plants.
Superstars.
They weren't plants. It was fucking, it was fucking madness in the crowd.
Wow.
Madness.
Yeah, and so, and this was a big event. It was in Dallas. It was Christmas Day, and so, yeah. Like, you had this going on, and fans were just, like, they were livid. And so, at this point, Kerry got busted open. The match kept going. They sent Gordy and Hayes to the back. Kerry's busted open. The ref stops the match, and of course, Flair again wins. You know, because
he's Ric Flair.
Yeah. So the match itself, it's not bad, but it's not great. But just for, I guess, historical significance.
Yeah, set
short,
up the
short story.
Biggest feuds in the history of the
yeah, short,
of wrestling.
Short, long version of a short story. That's
no, and that carried them for what, 2-3 years, till Freebird said adios. You know, you said that when I was thinking of Flair and Nikita, where Dusty comes in to save Flair. That sets up Dusty and Flair because they break, yeah. And they had that was a real riot, like people trying to get in the cage. Wrestlers knocking guys off the cage. They wouldn't let him out. They wouldn't let the horseman out. That was in, I'm thinking, the Omni
Atlanta.
Or maybe Greensboro.
Yeah. No, it was Atlanta. Yep.
Wow.
They're literally stopping. It's great.
You can find fans hanging off the cage.
It's great stuff.
That's gnarly shit, man. What do you do as a wrestler at that point other than not, you know,
start throwing.
Yeah. You can't do anything but that.
Because the cops are marks, too. They're like, yeah, fuck these guys. They got dusty roads in the middle of the road. What are they doing? That's what they always talk about. They're like, oh, cops were fans, too. Shit. They were like, yeah, fuck bad guys. I ain't helping you. I'm not getting...
Those are the best Cornette, when Cornette talks about that kind of shit, what he's talking about. You got Billy Bob back there trying to hold the crowd back, and he says, fuck it, let's get those bastards.
Well, you have people with fucking Drano and squirt guns shooting you. If I'm a cop, I'm like, yeah, you guys take care of yourself. You guys want to do this shit, fuck you.
Wow.
But no, going cage matches. We talked about blood before we got on the air, and blood's a huge part of how they used to do all these. I mean, that made a match
real blood.
Yeah, Flair was queer for the blade. He set on off oftentimes. You pose the question: blood or no blood? Where do you stand on that?
Blood.
Fuck yeah!
It's all part of the show, man.
Even since they discovered AIDS a few years ago.
Yeah. Yeah, you try to tell me that this is not an athletic organization, that they don't test their people that have the potential to bleed in the ring.
You know what
people?
Started to make me wonder? Because I used to assume.
They have to. I mean, I know it's entertainment, but so is porn, and they test their actors.
Actresses. They didn't test back then, I guarantee it.
You know what I'm saying, though? Like, well,
not even back then,
now,
I'm talking now.
Now, I bet they do.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure they do now.
Yeah, I'm sure they're tested for everything now.
Back then, though, they avoided commissions any way they could, and they would have back pocket deals with them to where they'd, oh, here's $200, okay. I mean, that's why. That's
yeah, but I don't think they really knew AIDS was in your blood or thought that that was
no, real. I mean,
they used to think it you could get it from doing coke because it was an inhalant in your nose that was causing you to get AIDS.
That's what I was going to say.
Like, no.
Back in that era, those guys were definitely living the clean lifestyle, so yeah. I don't know how they would be worried about AIDS.
Right. You know, I'm surprised more wrestlers didn't get it.
I'm shocked.
They're in the back sharing fucking needles and shit.
I'm shocked that more big wrestlers didn't get AIDS.
Especially the homosexual wrestlers. I'm not joking.
Gay wrestlers?
You're at a higher risk.
Gay wrestlers.
Go on.
Yes, yes,
yes.
Yes.
Get out of here. Gay wrestlers. Are you serious?
Yes, yes,
who?
Yes.
Who?
Yeah, drop a name.
Give
here
me a gay, give me a name of a gay wrestler.
Pat Patterson's a good start.
One.
One.
You want more?
Yeah.
Do we really have to out people on here?
If you know, you're not outing them.
Absolutely.
I can't think of the guy from that Cornette talked about the other day. He's an old wrestler from the territories, and he used to be in a tag team. Colt. They said he died of. Oh, Chris Colt is another. Was another. Why he ended up doing gay porno.
Okay. So, yep.
Yeah, but that could have just been for money.
Yeah. He's pretty gay. I mean, he was gay. I mean, he had a boyfriend in the...
Oh, okay, well.
Another one. Let's see. Garvin. Wasn't not Ronnie Garvin.
Terry Garvin.
Not Jimmy Garvin.
Wasn't he married, though?
Terry Garvin School of Self-Defense. That was a reference they used to make on WWF shows, because Terry Garvin would, like, proposition wrestlers.
Oh.
Yeah, and they'd go, and Gorilla Monsoon would say, oh, he must have gone to Terry Garvin's School of Self-Defense. And they, now they have to cut it out of the shows.
The inside jokes back then.
Oh, it's fucking brutal.
What else do you have? Chris Canyon?
Canyon. Orlando Jordan.
Canyon, yeah. Did he die of AIDS?
Though? Alex Wright.
Killed himself.
That was a joke. That was a joke.
Yeah. Alex Wright. Das Wunderkid?
Das Wunderkid.
Okay. Yeah. He shows up there and kicks your ass.
Yeah, no shit. He was like 6'3 or something, yeah. But he was a fucking big boy.
Yeah, but I'm not joking, though.
Okay, if you had to bet on one wrestler right now that's gay, who would it be?
This Finn Balor.
Not gay. He's dating the announcer chick.
What about Kenny Omega?
Kenny Omega. Definitely.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. What happens if he comes out?
I don't think people care.
Nothing.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute.
I don't think people care that are wrestling fans.
Really?
No.
Really?
Wrestling fans are pretty progressive.
Okay, Stephanie. You been drinking the Stephanie juice over there?
No.
I'm inclined to agree. I don't think wrestling fans care. I think his fellow workers would care more than fans.
Oh, I think they all know. I think his boys know.
You think it's inside?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's well known inside the business that he is.
You're just stating that as a fact.
Yes.
Of course.
Okay.
It's well known inside the business.
Ask anybody.
Yeah. No, but I've heard multiple people that work in the independents and have worked with him heard that it's pretty well known. He doesn't exactly hide it. And that was the thing with Balor. Balor is apparently very comfortable with his sexuality.
I don't doubt that.
And kind of, you know, good-looking cat, but he doesn't. He kind of just does whatever. And not that he does whatever with who, like, not like that, but he doesn't try to put on this macho image because people start questioning it. He just has been the same guy he's been. But he has some guys that he's close with that are his boys that he grew up with, kind of one of those things, and that's why people suspected them. But apparently Omega, it's kind of like everybody.
Known?
Everybody kind of just gets it and goes with it.
Do you think wrestlers treat another wrestler differently if they have to fight against them after learning that they're gay? I mean, not that it matters, but do you think other wrestlers, like, even, I mean, especially back
in
the day.
Do you mean, are there wrestlers that... Well, I'm saying, treat them to...
Yeah, probably not so much today. Yes. But I'm saying back then, you can imagine like the 80s, if you found out one of the dudes that you were about to get in and get all sweaty with was gay. I mean, you think they were probably hard on him, dude.
Patterson ran the business. I mean, Patterson was one of the most influential people in the business.
And yeah, notice he got a job in the WWF.
Nobody said a fucking word to him.
No.
I mean...
Hey, you want this announcing job?
Hold on, though. It goes to Vince. I mean, there's the huge rumor of Vince and Shawn Michaels.
Yeah, come on.
But I'm just saying, like, that is either. There. I mean, there.
Is this segue my fault?
This is the three horsemen. Yeah. We're talking cage matches.
This is my fault.
Daryl, if you're still with us, thanks for hanging with us for the last few minutes.
Well, I mean, men in cages.
Men in cages.
That obviously leads to this conversation.
Well.
So would you blade?
Would I blade?
Would you blade?
No.
No?
If you're a wrestler and you're a wrestler. Just a pussy.
Right. How do you get your fans up?
I mean, if I was back in the day, I guess, but man, I don't know. It's you're rewriting history if you know what's going on back then.
They should blade now.
They should blade now.
In a cage match. If you're having, I mean, like, it takes away from a cage match automatically if you don't bust open.
A little bit, at least a little bit. So, you know what you don't see enough? Enough bloody noses. Like, as hard as these guys are getting hit, they should really kind of make it a little bit more just...
Break your own nose.
Yeah, you know, that's a nice substitute to a blade. No, it isn't. It sucks. I've had my nose broken. But can you imagine, like, there's no bloody noses or even bloody lips ever. Let's try to make this try to make this a little better.
Fuck. I'll give Lesnar props on that, though. He'll just say, fuck it, and bust himself open.
Or bust somebody else open, he did at WrestleMania. Whenever he tried to knock Randy Orton's head off.
Or Strowman.
Just cuts guys, or Cena. He did it to all of them.
Yeah.
But, I mean, okay, so did you liked when Flair would basically just gig for days.
Yeah, he had that white hair, man, that blonde.
In a cage, I get it.
And the red just fucking, it was great. Yeah, it was great. Well, part of my childhood.
The old saying,
I fucking loved it.
The old saying is red equals green, and they were right. But
my thing was, my question was, that's kind of weird because you asked, would you blade? My question wasn't going to be, would you blade? It was, where would you hide your blade?
Well, that's why Flair always had the tape on his fingers. Because, I mean.
Wrist.
You do the wrist?
My wrist.
Yeah, that's
where I'd go.
But, I mean, Flair...
Right,
I mean,
next to a major arty. Good call, Corey.
There are multiple videos on YouTube of how, like, he would literally take a razor blade, cut it in half again, and then... he'd create, like, a little tab that he could pull it out of his... But, I mean, depending...
Savage was the same way?
Yeah. I don't know.
What about the fucking guys that keep them in their mouth or under their tongue?
That's just insanity.
But, I mean, there's guys that preferred to hide the blade that way.
You've seen the Kerry Von Erich Lawler match.
Fucking crazy.
No.
Where fucking Von Erich's all fucked up. He cut his armpit on the way to the ring. No, before the match. He's sitting there talking to him. He's like, oh, fuck.
Autumn's on the way to the ring.
No, him and Lawler just sitting there talking. Lawler says, oh, yeah, he's just sitting there. He goes, uh-oh. So he opens up his thing and acts like he's bleeding, so Lawler has to go work on that and act like he cut his arm fucking 30 seconds into the match.
Oh, my gosh.
What's up, Pills? Jesus. How fucked up are you? And you got to wrestle.
Yeah.
How
do you wrestle at that point?
And I was about to say in front of 20,000 people. It was AWA Superclash. It was in front of about 200 people, but it was still on pay-per-view that nobody watched. But Jesus. How fucked up. And that wasn't a cage match. I got to stop segueing. Okay.
That was a funny moment, though.
Yes, a great moment. Okay. So if you want blood and you want guts, that is War Games. And War Games, to me, is the best iteration of, aside from the single match. I like Hell in a Cell, but I am a War Games fan. Any War Games stick out to you guys?
The very first one. Because it was a brand new thing, you'd never seen it before. It was fresh. It was just a new concept, and the fact that if you go back and watch it, I mean, the match ended whenever JJ landed weird
when the Road Warriors ruined him.
Like you saw that, it's just like, whoa!
I'm a Sting Squadron versus Dangerous Alliance guy. I love that.
That's my close second.
Yes,
that is a very
Austin's in that. Wyndham's in that. Rude, Sting, Steamboat. I mean, that it's loaded. Bobby Eaton.
I saw a video where Austin basically said he gigged himself four different times.
He had to have.
I mean, he was...
Had to have.
Yeah.
Covered. Covered.
Jesus.
Have Made you never seen
match,
that?
Though. Made a great match, though.
Have you seen it?
I don't think so.
If he's covered in blood, go out of your way to watch that one.
This makes whenever he fought Bret Hart at WrestleMania and the blood running down his face during the sharpshooter, it puts that to shame. I mean, he is...
Well, that's a pretty bold claim there. Is that good, huh?
He's gushed.
Awesome.
To the max.
Awesome.
And that's 92. And I
love that.
I also wanted to bring this up in terms of cage matches. Have you ever seen a company, well, I guess since there have only been so many since we were what age, do worse cage matches of any kind than WCW from about 93 till the time they close? Can you name a good cage match they did? Just all kinds of terrible. So I don't know if it was the aesthetics or who was in it. Just they're all so bad.
So what was the date range? 93 to 96?
To 95. 2001.
Oh, just...
Can you name a good cage match from... think about it. Name a good cage match the WCW had during their big... during their hot streak. And if you can do it, God bless your soul.
I put this one on the list because I know it's not a technical masterpiece. I mean, it's a cage match, so I mean, you're going to have Owen and Brett, and that's probably going to be the only classical wrestling masterpiece per se that you're going to have in a cage. But
go ahead.
Flair and Hogan in 99, it was okay, I thought.
Are you talking about the one where it was a first blood match,
yeah,
and then the guy start, and then Hogan started bleeding.
And that's why I thought
that's
it was,
my point
exactly. But I thought that was funny. I thought that was comical, and that kept me entertained.
But it's so stupid. They did those war games with like three teams, and Ultimate Warrior ripped the cage off.
Those were awful.
Then they did the triple cage thing where it was guys fighting to get to the top. I think. Does anybody remember?
I remember.
You don't like
tower
the cage off?
The tower thing where they had
That's what wrestling's all about, is that sort of over the top shit. That's what got you into it in the first place, was that sort of over the top shit. You know what I'm saying? Am I wrong? Am I wrong here to say that extra mile that they go that's probably not believable is the attraction?
Yeah, but that's also what killed them.
I don't know, man. Stuff like that, and like I mentioned earlier, with Mankind going through the floor, that over-the-top shit, that's just that just sticks right here.
So if
forever.
So with these new concepts like this triple cage, Tower of Doom, whatever you want to call it, like I think it could have worked if you had different guys. But whenever you're bringing in David Arquette, that's
right.
That was it for me. I mean,
think the fact that you have Jeff Jarrett in it. That would be like when we were kids in 1990. It's Hogan, Earthquake,
yeah.
Macho Man, Jesus, who else was big? Ultimate Warrior, Rick Rude, and Coco Beware.
Yeah,
in the cage match, and then having Coco win. But fuck, Jeff Jarrett's gonna win it?
Yeah.
Oh, that makes sense. That's terrible. Well, they liked him, but. The other thing I wanted to bring up, and you guys take it anywhere you want. We have done gay porn so far, so
yeah, we have.
We haven't done it.
Whoa,
we've discussed it.
Damn, Corey,
I'm telling you, these porns, these porno movies with all male cast. I'm gonna go out and I'm gonna state it. They are not very good. Those movies aren't.
Okay.
So
I have no frame of reference, but I will take your word for it.
Continuing. You were saying
that they overbooked super ruined cage matches for them. They couldn't do one well. I remember they did one with Piper and Hogan. I think it was really bad.
It was bad.
Age in a cage, as they referred to it.
Yep.
Age in a cage. What good matches did Piper have? I mean, some of his earlier shit, but I love the guy. I love the character and the way he talked. But when you think about, it's hard for me to remember like really good brawls that Piper had.
He didn't really have any good matches, and I would say the last good match I saw him have was with Bret Hart. Was it WrestleMania?
Right. WrestleMania 8.
But before that, you got to go back to NWA. Whatever,
right.
He's having like. dog collar match was with Greg Valentine.
I'm telling you, this guy's stealing all my answers. Look at your own pages there, buddy. Jesus.
When was the Von Erich blood match? I'm still trying to find him cutting himself.
Super Clash 3. It's fucking dreadful.
Where he cut his arm?
Yes.
If you get it, let me see it to you or send it to me or something. I want to watch that.
He takes his jacket off and looks at his arm like, oh, I cut my arm.
You can't see the blood, though. You can see him fiddling with his blade throughout the first 3 minutes of the match. Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it starts shooting into the third row.
I don't see the blood that bad.
Fucker hit an artery.
Yeah. Well, they covered it up. I mean, they covered for it. They didn't cover it up. They tried to cover for that part, saying he went to his arm. The other one that it's not on the list is Jerry Lawler got his head shaved when he wrestled Austin Idol, and there's the old story is that Tommy Rich hid under the ring. This is in Memphis. He hid under the ring throughout the day, the entire day, before the match started.
I did not know this. Continue.
He came out, attacked Lawler. They about had a riot in Memphis. You can definitely pull that up. Pull up Lawler Idol. Head shave, and Rich comes in. They beat him. People are just losing their minds. It's a really good thing. And the other one was Buzz Sawyer, Tommy Rich, which came up on the network. They finally found that footage, which they had been searching for only, what, 30 years, 35 years? No big deal. WWE just puts it on like, yeah, we found this.
Here it is.
That's it. That's exciting. What's another cage match that we haven't covered or favored anybody's got?
What's the bullshit one that WWE does now, where they have the pods?
Elimination Chamber.
Ugh.
They had one of those in St. Louis. One of the worst things I've ever tried watching.
They're not very
just,
good at this.
You can't see through. You can't. I mean, it was just.
Eric, you know what we're talking about here?
I do.
Do you like those? Is that a cage match to you?
No.
See, me either.
No.
I mean, it's a domed fucking ring.
I know.
Not in a traditional sense. I guess technically it's a cage and you're having a match, so I guess it's a cage.
So it is technically
but,
a cage
but
match.
But in my mind, no, that's not a cage match. And a cage match is fucking square, bud.
I mean, everyone's gonna
I like it.
I'm just saying.
So if it was a cube.
Well, it is a cube, technically. when the roof, yeah, so when they have a roof, it's a cube. But no, I'm not into the dome shit.
No. Do you? What do you think of it, T.O.? I mean, aside from being in person, and that's another thing we haven't talked about, seeing a cage match in person. I hate them.
Yeah, it's rough.
Like, I thought, Undertaker and Shawn Michaels are coming out of the cage. I'm like, oh, cool, we can see all the shit they're doing now. And
were you because close? You're looking level? Up
yeah.
through. It's bad.
Were you close, Corey?
No.
No? Not so you were Jumbotron in it? Titantron?
No, you could see enough that way. We were kind of at an angle, which puts that corner of the cage where you're at. We were down low, not low, but we're in the lower bowl at the back towards that bowl. So it's different. But even when you are, it's kind of like being on the floor at a wrestling mat is the worst thing you could ever do.
Really?
Oh, my God. You can't see anything.
I remember the first time I ordered a wrestling pay-per-view in HD. I was disappointed because the cage caught so much glare in the high definition, and it was like, well, that isn't even, I mean, yeah, it looks cool or whatnot, but it's not, like, anytime the camera moved, you're catching that glare off of the cage where you didn't get that before. Like,
they have gone through so much shit trying to fix the cages to make them more TV friendly,
right?
Is that what you'd say?
Yeah.
Trying to kill that glare, trying to put, matte paint
right
on the cage to make it, so it doesn't kill with all the lights. I hate the lighting now, too. But yeah, I know what you're talking about.
That's rough.
That's a random complaint that you hear a lot. What other... T.O., did you have any other talk on seeing these in person or a favorite cage match? Do you have anything? Besides the goddamn Hell in a Cell. What are the matches? With the pods? Elimination Chamber.
No, they're just brutal. I mean, that's just impossible to watch.
Yeah.
We were in the suite at the one there, and you're eye level with it, and you could not see shit.
No.
It's bad.
It's a waste of a dollar. It's kind of like when guys fight outside the ring, and you're at a wrestling event. You can't see shit. Once they go to one side of the ring, all right, I'm going to look up at the Jumbotron the entire time. That's exciting.
So what did you think? I see he's got one down here. It was Vince McMahon and Stone Cold.
Love that match.
Yeah?
St. Valentine's Massacre. That's where the Big mm-hmm. Show made his first appearance, came up through the ring.
Oh. It's Paul White! It's Paul White!
That's right. Couldn't say. What was his name? He was the Giant in WCW.
Yeah.
Shouting is Paul White. It's like, no, it's the Giant. What? He has a real name? What?
Yeah. Thought they were going to try and copy WCW there. No, that's a good match. That's where McMahon takes the bump off the cage and looks like he about breaks his neck because he doesn't know how to fall. It's a really good match, and he keeps flipping Austin off to get him to come back in the ring and beat the shit out of him more.
That McMahon, he's
great, all-time villain.
Yeah.
Maybe number one.
But, you know, you got to think, like, did he write all these storylines, or did he just approve them? Because if
he didn't write them.
You know what I mean? Like, that thing right there with him flipping him off to get him to come back in the ring, everybody loved that. Who doesn't want to beat their boss up, you know what I mean? Most working stiffs to have that dream and to see it lived out in this cage match, like, you know, that was, it's great. Uh-huh. It's great, you know what I mean? So, yeah, that was a good one.
They couldn't miss back then.
No.
They had a 2-3 year run. They couldn't miss.
A formula that was fucking all good.
Kathy Kelly is who Finn Balor dates.
Well, good for him.
Yeah.
What cage match were they in? What other ones from the list have we not covered? Are worth discussion? All of them?
We haven't really talked about race and Flair much. 83.
I don't, think these guys have seen that one. It's a very good match.
But you guys can talk about it.
Right.
Just YouTube and stuff over here. Just funny wrestling stuff.
I've got a
I'm down that wormhole now just watching botches.
That's what you get. I've got a T-shirt that is the bounty. You've watched the bounty that Flair puts on, or Race puts on Flair going into that match.
Yeah.
I've got a T-shirt that's just... Race holding the belt with a briefcase full of cash.
Nice.
Love that. It's great. It is a good match with Kaniski reffing.
Now, that's right. I forgot he reffed that match.
Yeah, so how do you just learn about this stuff as you go, or how did you get into like watching that? Because it's before all of our time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was before. I was born in 85, so, you know, again, as a kid, I would order my parents would order the once every 3 or 4 month pay-per-views that it was back then, but then I would also go to the video store and get the VHS tapes for previous pay-per-views for like 50 cents.
You're a good man.
And then just, you know, with the advent of YouTube and kind of ashamed to say the network, which I do not have a subscription to anymore.
Reason?
You can get everything else on YouTube, Daily Motion, whatever else is out there.
Fair enough.
You can find it.
Fair enough.
You know, but I would just go back and watch old material, and just it was entertaining.
I agree.
Simple explanation. But I'm trying to remember.
That was very simple.
When I watched, when was the first time I watched Flair and Race? Because I've watched like Flair and Race, Magnum and Tully. A lot of these matches I've watched more than once, just because they're that entertaining.
Yeah, I want to say Flair and Race was on Lords of the Ring. It had the red cover with Steamboat throwing Flair midair, and then it's got the fabulous ones on the Road Warriors in each corner. You can also look that up. We'll put a picture up or something. We don't even touch Twitter or any of that shit anymore, do we? Oh, by the way, check us out, facebook.com/numeral3horseman show, twitter.com, same thing, /numeral3horseman show. Check us out on YouTube, /numeral3horseman show. Go to your app store. One, go to iTunes, wherever you got to go, download our show, give us a rating. If it's worth 1 star, that's fine. But try and give us 5 stars. And also, go download Yo Radio. You can check out any of our shows, Lineup Media. We have our own station. That's what we're trying to fill her up with content. So go check it out, Yo Radio. We've got Surreal Talk. We've got, if you're St. Louis locally, we've got Blues and Cardinals show. What is what's Jada's show over there now? She's the Girls Talk.
Who's, I don't know.
Girls?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I am.
So we got the Ocho Man.
Yeah,
Eric's on the Ocho
Behind
Man.
Behind the 8-Ball. They're done doing this day in history, aren't they? They're done with that?
No, I think this day in history, there's just only so much shit that happened on those days, and I think they've covered them.
365 episodes. That wasn't a very smart business plan, was it?
watch. We're going to run out. Shit. We covered every cage match ever. We're going to be like, okay, singles matches, and we'll be done eventually. Yeah. We'll run out of shit. Who had the best ring attire?
I don't know. There's one on here, though, that I'm seeing on this list that I'm definitely going to have to look up because I like both wrestlers. Kurt Angle and Chris Benoit on Raw. I didn't even know that took place. That I just graduated high school around that time. So, yeah.
Ooh, Alex, give us, give us some background on that.
The only thing I remember about that match was Angle doing a moonsault off the top of the cage and missing. Yes. And it's just one. It's
fucking
just one.
Hate Kurt Angle.
It's just one of those just one of those iconic. Like they would play it on the, like the Raw intro package. And,
right.
I mean, you know, they had it on there for the longest time. But it's just one of those things. Like you know, if they did like a best of cage matches, they'd probably put that 5 second clip or whatever on.
It'd be in, huh? It's included.
I mean, I don't remember the match itself, to be honest. I remember it being halfway decent. But I mean, that was also the time where I just, from about, I don't know, 99, 2000 until, I don't know, 05, I just didn't watch. And then from like, I watched here and there from like 05 to 2009, 2010, and I've just pretty much stopped ever since with the occasional Mania or Royal Rumble or something like that.
YouTube's a beautiful thing, though.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
What do you need?
I think a lot of people are like, that's how I literally almost have the exact same timeline. T.O. and I talk about it all the time. We're like, man, when did you stop watching? And it's always right about, yeah, I don't remember that. I don't remember that. I don't remember that.
Yeah.
And it's always the same thing. Here's a great one we forgot to mention. Team Russo... Kevin Nash, Jeff Jarrett, Scott Steiner, Vince Russo, and the Harris brothers.
The Harris brothers. Wasn't one of those a pimp that got arrested for... No, I swear to God, look this up. Ron and Don, I think, was their names.
Yeah.
One of them went to prison because he was holding, like, girls hostage, chained up in his... I'm almost... Oh,
wow. Wait a minute.
It was
Wait
the
a minute.
Harris brothers.
Let me get through this whole fucking thing. Team Russo, you got the team here. Nash, Jarrett, Scott Steiner, Vince Russo, and the Harris brothers defeated the team of Sting, Goldberg, Booker T, and Chronic when Nash exited the triple cage structure with the WCW title to retain the title. So I guess these guys all wrestled for the world title? A war games to determine the title?
So that Pimp Harris was in a title match.
Pimp Harris and Don Harris. I wonder what Vince Russo is in it. Jesus Christ. How did they... We haven't talked about it. What do you think led to them going out of business? I'm joking.
WCW?
I mean, whenever, that match alone.
Whenever you have a triple cage and nobody in the match knows the rules, and so we're just like, hey, we're just going to have Nash grab the belt next to the cage and call him the winner.
Oh, it was that bad? That was a shit show?
Yeah, I vaguely remember it.
Yeah, there's another one. Doesn't somebody get speared through a cage? Russo's
been speared through a cage. I remember that. I think that was that same match, but it was after the match was over.
And he became the champion because of that?
I don't remember that part. That's a different match then, I guess.
God. What were they doing?
Because he exited the cage first. He was technically...
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Here's another one we forgot. The Hulkamaniacs. Hulk Hogan, Randy Savage, Lex Luger, and Sting defeated the Dungeon of Doom in a War Games match, which consisted of Kamala the Ugandan Giant. Everybody knows Kamala. The Zodiac, Brutus the Beefcake in white and black face paint.
Yep.
The Shark.
Earthquake
with shark teeth drawn on his cheeks.
Oh.
And Ming.
I'm sorry.
I like
it's Hard
Ming.
Body Harrison that was the pimp.
Oh.
Not the Harris
say,
brothers.
They do look nearly alike, though. Hard Body Harrison and Don Harris. One's a black bodybuilder. The other one's a fucking biker that I'm pretty sure was in the KKK.
I can see the similarity.
These guys are hard to decipher. Sometimes.
I don't even remember this Hard Body Harrison guy.
I think he was in WCW for a cup of coffee. enhancement talent. Jesus Christ.
Okay, so you've got...
I think he was with Chris Colt in one of those movies.
So
go ahead.
You've got a... Okay, so there's a point of reference here to definitely tell when WCW went off the deep end. So you've got Sting Squadron against the Dangerous Alliance in May of 92.
And they had a horrible year that year, though, too. But yes.
But they were still able to put on a good match regardless. But then next year, 93, Sting, Davey Boy Smith, Dustin Rhodes, and the Shockmaster.
Typhoon. The Shockmaster.
I didn't know he was Typhoon. He went under the Shockmaster.
Typhoon.
Huh? Yeah, I remember Typhoon, but I didn't know he went as Shockmaster. That's
whoa,
crazy.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Whoa.
This
you've
is...
never seen the Shockmaster?
I don't think so.
His debut?
No, fuck
the funniest
this.
Moment. Put this on TV.
Funniest moment of
Let's
pro wrestling ever.
It. Pull it up.
Please show him.
I don't know how to.
Oh, I can do it. What's it called?
The Shockmaster. Just type that in.
Just it'll be the first thing that comes in when you type in.
Folks, if you're listening.
Oh, God, it sure is debut.
If you're listening, you are going to listen to somebody.
Oh, that's a stormtrooper.
See the Shockmaster debut on WCW for the first time.
They were
going to
put the belt on him. They were going to push him huge and put the belt on him, and this happened.
Fred Ottman and Dusty Rhodes are related. Don't you know this?
No.
Yes. It's somebody's cousin of somebody.
Of course.
Uncle Fred.
That are now
who's
related.
Who's this Colonel
to?
Sanders dressing fuck here?
Colonel Robert Parker, man.
All right. This guy back here behind Sid.
Oh, we need the audio. We need the audio.
Here we go.
Oh, Sid.
How have you never seen this?
Boy, Sid Vicious is a mean motherfucker, isn't he? Look at him. That mullet. Got some bird legs on him.
Mm-hmm. No.
Oh, did you see the who the hell was that? Must be like fucking Harlem. Dude.
You gotta watch!
The Shockmaster. Oh my god.
Fill in his fucking arse.
The response.
Puts the mask back on.
How about Sid? I don't care who you are, boy! Ole Anderson doing the Shockmaster voice, who sounds suspiciously like the Black Scorpion.
The glitter from the fall on his chest.
Yeah.
So they put glitter in a stormtrooper mask. First off,
yep.
That's from Star Wars.
Yep.
Dusty Rhodes. That's so fucking cringeworthy. That whole thing is bad.
So then fast forward, they obviously took the mask off of him and did away with that.
He falls on his fucking face.
That's Uncle Fred. Dad, that's Uncle Fred.
They took the mask, but it was like... It's a
how have you never
mask.
Seen that?
I don't know. How long did he have the run as Shockmaster?
Not long.
Okay, well, there you go.
Maybe 4 or 5 months.
God, that
so
was
he went
horrible,
from he went
dude.
From collecting a check from WWF, getting laid off, going there, or get. I don't know if he went there on purpose. This cage match show, we have really dovetailed a few times.
Oh, Jesus. The other thing I was going to mention with this War Games, Harlem Heat, they were not always known as Booker T and Stevie Ray. They were Kane and Cole.
I was going to say Ice and Cole. Yeah.
Kane and Cole, huh?
Same guys, but...
They must have just been good buddies to catch same tag teams all
but
the time.
But anyway, you know? the match was horrible. So, you know... Fast forward a year from 92 to 93, you knew that if WCW could not pull off a good War Games match, then they were it just wasn't worth watching. At least that was my opinion at the time.
Okay, let's hit rewind. Name a good cage match WCW did from 1993 to 2001.
I can't.
A good, good cage match.
I can't.
Impossible.
You can't.
They never stuck Chris Jericho in a cage. They never stuck Benoit unless it was one of these horse shit, terrible ways to do a war games. They didn't put any of their guys that could wrestle. I remember Savage jumping off a cage one time to, and he like broke his ankle.
Oh, yeah, he landed straight down on it.
Yes!
Fucking folded up in. Right? Oh. Yeah, that was rough. I do remember that.
Did you see, have you seen Sid breaking his ankle?
No.
Have you seen that? You
oh,
seen
come
that
on!
Wait, he's, yeah, I think so. He's got white boots on, right?
Black.
No, black boots. They're,
then no. Then maybe not.
Well, type that in. You might as well see that, too.
This might be our new show. Just YouTube searches. And we'll just load them onto our Twitter. No.
While he's looking that up, just a quick.
Oh, how about when Sid fucking broke Pillman in half inside the War Games?
Oh, I have seen that. That's horrible. I don't know. Yeah, I have seen that. That's terrible.
That's the War Games in between.
Yeah, but was Pillman legitimately injured or was that just a work? I honestly don't remember.
Well, now that we know how concussions work, I think it was real.
No, because they sold the neck. Did they not?
Shoulder.
Was that legitimate, though?
So fucking
yeah,
vicious.
I think he was pretty much knocked out.
Okay, yeah, I knew. I got the concussion.
He was knocked out with his eyes open.
Right. Yeah, I get that part of it, but I meant like because I know they're selling the shoulder, and I didn't know if that was
because
yeah, they had it taped up and everything. I didn't legit didn't know if that was storyline or you know if it was legitimate.
Yeah, bad shit happens in cages with roofs.
Well,
or roofs, roofs. Fuck. Roofs.
Roads.
I turned into wolves.
Roads.
Hey, what happened to our feed?
Uh-oh.
I don't know. It's been doing that to me, too. I was just wondering.
Uh-oh.
That. Hopefully we're all right.
No, we'll find out eventually. Still? Not that it really matters.
But. My internet's still working.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
What else we got to cover in cage matches that we haven't tapped or touched on or grabbed on or... snuck by anybody. What's our time at?
I don't know. We're dropping hella frames.
Oh, we're over. That's good. Wish we hit that.
Yeah.
Dropped frames.
Yeah, we're dropping tons of frames. 9%.
An hour and almost 10 minutes.
What's a good, another good WWF cage match? You think of any?
No.
That we haven't mentioned?
Yeah. I was trying to think of any other ones that Austin was in. And I think he and McMahon did theirs. Did you know that Triple H has been in the most? He's been in like fucking 20-something Hell in a Cells.
Triple H has?
How bad does that guy want to be in everything?
Mm-hmm. Who? Triple H?
There it is.
Yeah.
Knew I'd wake you up.
Wait, what?
No.
I'm trying to get you going.
Don't. I'm not going to fall for it.
I thought I'd get you with some Vince Russo shit there, but no. Not happening.
He doesn't bother me nearly as much as Triple H does. Because he's still doing it.
He'll
still get involved with anyone that's hot, and now his bitch wife's doing the same fucking thing.
His bitch wife.
Oh, I can't. My head's... I'll get a tumor.
It's not a tumor.
There you go. Uh-oh.
That was easy.
Yes, it was.
You guys ever seen the chicken wire cage they used to have in Memphis?
Yep.
With fucking... The only match I've ever seen inside or that they actually broadcast or showed on TV was the Lawler Savage match. Lawler or Savage comes off the top of the cage. Dude, that guy had a fucking death wish.
Oh yeah, he did.
Who?
He did shit.
Snap into
Savage.
Well, when you're sleeping with your boss's 13-year-old daughter.
All right.
Oh snap. Uh oh.
Funny we brought up Lawler and talked about 13-year-olds. That's crazy how that works.
You didn't know which one I was talking about when I said that.
You know Lawler's shit, right?
No. What's happened with Lawler? Jerry the King?
Jerry likes him young.
Do you know the rumor of Stephanie McMahon and Savage?
No, I didn't know that.
Oh God, we just gotta do a rumor show for him. And just see how shocked he is and how he can grade the rumor, the folklore.
I'm with it. Savage fucks Stephanie McMahon. She's 13 years old.
That not 13. What 16?
I think we did the math and it was around 16.
Around 16, yeah. And that explains a lot of
Miss
the bad
Elizabeth
blood
wasn't
towards
happy.
The end.
I don't want to dovetail into this one either because there's a lot to talk about there and a lot to break down based on interviews from people.
Jesus. I wish Pritchard would talk about it.
Yeah. Yeah, instead of us.
He does fucking hate her. You can tell.
I don't think anybody likes her.
Ronda Rousey does in the Bella sisters.
She's doing a great women's revolution based on how...
Women's revolution, and they put the belts on two of the hotter ones. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I noticed you didn't put the girls' cage match on here. God damn, man.
Check the bottom. I did.
He knew I was
very
going,
last
you
one.
Fucker. God, you suck. God damn it.
I like Triple H.
Lita versus Victoria? What is that horse shit? They didn't ever wrestle in a cage.
Look it up.
No.
Look it up. There are two women's cage matches on here. Lita, Victoria, and then a women's War Games match in May of this year.
You remember Hunter Hearst Helmsley?
Wait a minute. Not Triple H. There was a women's cage or women's War Games?
Pro Wrestling Eve Wrestle Queendom 1, May 2018. I've not watched it, but it's out there.
Are you fucking joking? They wrestled in a cage.
They did.
Oh, my God. Why? Although, if there was one girl that could make it work, it was Victoria. Why can't I think of her name? She runs the place up in Chicago. Or, well, it used to. Had the restaurant. Can't think of her real name. She's a good wrestler, though. What'd you guys think of who had the Hell in a Cell? Eric?
I was never in a cage.
You said the Hell in a Cell was the match that came to your mind, your favorite.
Oh, yeah.
Well, does it mean he's going to name the two chicks that fought in it fucking two or three years ago?
Yeah, I've been out
had
of
to have been Charlotte.
For a long time.
They couldn't have stuck anybody else in there. Charlotte and?
Oh,
it's
Sasha?
On the list.
Sasha?
I don't see it. You just put it on there, you fucker.
I didn't put anything on there, so wait.
Was it Charlotte and Sasha?
Squad goals. What's a squad goal?
I don't know.
What is it? Wait a minute. Whoa, fuck that. What's a squad goal? Emi Sakura, Addie Starr, Laura DiMatteo, and Rhea O'Reilly defeated the deserving Jayla Dark, Blue Nikita, Jamie Hayter, and Charlie Evans at Pro Wrestling Eve Wrestle Queendom 1. This just happened last month.
And people are still talking about it.
Literally. 2 months later. Emi Sakura, Squad Goals is the name of your thing.
Let's look these broads up.
Defeated the deserving.
Squad Goals versus the deserving. Gonna be some weird porn pop up on my computer.
So, and I also want to point out that Alex did this just to prove that he's not a sexist, even though he is. So that, just remember that. Notice he hasn't mentioned any women's wrestling matches today.
She's not the most good looking.
Who?
Oh, Addie Starr.
Addie Starr?
Yeah.
None of them are.
All right.
Well, that's why they're on the independent circuit.
son of a bitch.
I'll come at least get Blue Pants in there, not Blue Nikita. You want Blue Pants, not Blue Nikita. That's what I'm going to... I have to say that. Man, I think we've...
If any of these bitches think they're deserving
all right.
of anything,
all right.
they're deserving of being told they're ugly.
They look like
oh,
ass.
My goodness. That
Jesus
was un-
Christ. And if your squad goal is to look ugly, you've done a good job. So it was eight ugly chicks wrestling.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? Never mind. It was in London. They're all fucking Brits, so it makes way more sense. Ugliest place I've ever been, London. Beijing, second. It's not good when I'm one of the best-looking people in an entire fucking city.
Couldn't agree more.
Yep.
Could not agree more. How come they never put, like, Sherry Martel and Rockin' Robin in a cage?
Sherry Martel can work.
She's a character. Yeah.
People don't realize that, though. People don't realize she was a worker. Like, they just remember her. But she took bumps as a manager. Like, legit bumps.
Moolah versus Richter in the blue cage. If I could
talk about
back.
Another pimp.
If I could go back.
Is this the pimp episode? Gay porn and pimps.
If I could go back and put one match in there.
Hard Body Harrison. Fabulous
versus
Moolah.
Versus Moolah and Richter.
Moolah taught Hard Body Harrison the business model at the power plant. Now, this is what you do with these young ladies.
Oh. If you're still listening, we probably owe you like a t-shirt or something.
And you've got Mae Young fucking taking bumps for Harrison, I'm sure.
I'm sorry, Mae Young. Who was the pimp? It was Moolah, wasn't it?
Moolah was the pimp.
Yeah, not Mae Young, Moolah.
Yeah.
God. She was apparently the writer for all the Godfather scenes in the Attitude Era.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's good to know.
Yep.
How many graves have we stepped on today? Oh, man.
Everybody's thinking it. I mean, if you Google these girls from this squad goals versus the deserving.
They're unfucking deserving.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
Yeah. These four models in here could get, never mind. There's a better chance of us getting, what's the twink, the dude that does the flips that everybody loves.
What?
What's his name? The king of the indies right now. Kenny Omega. Kenny Omega would have a better chance of getting hard from this podcast than any of those eight chicks.
I feel like we're in the middle of a 1998 episode of Howard Stern where they call the chicks in that want to be in Playboy. And be like, oh, now look at her ass right here. Look at the legs. Too much cottage cheese right there.
Yep.
Oh.
Well, if I've done anything, I've brought some lawsuits our way and people will hear of us.
Yeah, they'll hear of us.
Yep.
Who are these fucking losers?
We may or may not have a show next week.
Bullshit. nobody's listening anyway.
Any press is good press.
There you go.
That's right.
No such thing as bad publicity.
You know what I always say about this group when we get in here? Squad goals.
Oh, no.
Jesus Christ.
I don't even know what that means.
God, I think I'm going to go. I'm going to share that Shockmaster on my Facebook page to everybody I know, because they're just like, get fucked, idiot. That's a stormtrooper mask. What the fuck are you doing?
Everybody's going to say, you do a wrestling podcast? I've seen this 8 years ago.
Yeah, they're all going to say like, oh, you didn't know that? Like, yeah. Oh, fuck.
Have you heard of YouTube?
Your ass better call somebody. How have you not seen that?
I don't know, man, but fucking hell, that's terrible.
Well, at least it got funny at the end.
At least I see it now.
Now you know.
Now I fucking know. It's so fucking cringy, man. That was terrible.
Well, let's see. In this episode, we've decided which wrestlers are gay.
We've labeled most everybody we've talked about.
Yeah, we pissed on some graves. That's always good. Always good in the wrestling podcast.
To sum things up.
We talked a little wrestling here and there.
10-15%.
Yeah.
At best.
We hit our mark. This was long enough.
Kerry Von Erich was clearly fucked up in that match. Dude.
Oh, my God. Hammered on whatever he was
awesomeness.
On.
Awesomeness. We need that back in wrestling. Baseball needs steroids. Wrestling needs alcohol and pills again.
We need Lacey Von Erich versus Sable. In a
Lacey
fucking
Von
Tower
could
of
work
Doom.
All right, though. She wasn't bad.
No, she couldn't.
She was not bad.
Yes, she was.
No. Not compared to some of these girls.
Jenna Maraska or whatever her name was.
Lisa Verone. That's her name.
Lisa Verone. Thank you. Next week.
Oh, there's also rumors that Alexa Bliss is sleeping around backstage. That's how she's keeping
herself.
Oh,
that ain't rumors, bud.
Well, she does look like she's about 14 years
but
old.
But she is.
So that makes sense in WWE.
But she's engaged to Buddy Murphy down at the...
Buddy Colt? Buddy Murphy?
One of the guys in NXT.
Who dis? I don't know who dis
is. He's some Australian fuck.
Next week.
Wait, before next week, real quick, brought this on here, not for no reason. I don't even know if we're streaming or not.
Turn that bitch forward. Pull that up.
Maybe.
Pull it up so I can see it under your name.
My computer's going to fall off my desk here. I'll just...
Give him some history.
There you go.
Give the folks some history on YouTube.
NWA United States belt used from 83 to 86, I think.
Gorgeous.
It's beautiful.
It was worn by the gay Bobby Eaton.
Jesus. Lord, no.
Bobby Eaton was not United States champion.
Ever.
No, and he was never gay. That's a man's man.
I like how Alex went straight. He didn't dispute the gay thing. He was like, he was not the U.S. champion.
I don't know what he did in his car rides or who he rode with.
I just know he never wore.
That is none of my concern.
Cornette just flips out on Twitter on us.
Yeah,
God, I'd be so proud. Weirdos.
Meanwhile, you got Billy Bob on another podcast. No, sorry.
Exactly.
No,
God damn.
Oh, jeez.
Next.
But no, I
double cheese.
I brought this one on because going back to Magnum and Tully being my favorite cage match, it was a U.S. title match, I quit match. I mean, it was just, yeah. So there you go. Next
that's,
week.
That's the belt, baby. I love that belt. Gorgeous.
What are we doing next week?
One last shot. Oh, well, I guess we can talk it out here. My idea next week is a Hulk Hogan show.
Okay. I got pissed really bad, so I'm down with that.
Okay. Bye.
The one thing I will say.
Knew it.
Quick sign off.
So I've done a good job. I've buried everybody. I've shit on everyone.
That's why you're
all
here.
You can do is see and the top of my
seen
head.
His face.
I just realized that. That's great. I'm going to keep that there until we
just
turn
the head
this
talking.
Off.
Got my
it's like the opposite of Wilson.
Yeah.
From Tim. You know. Howdy ho, Corey.
Next week, Hulk Hogan.
That's great. We can talk about everything he's fucked up and done wrong, too.
I knew life. That's where you would want to go.
In his personal life. That's almost more interesting than his wrestling.
I was thinking about Hogan last night, that he stole someone's look with the dark beard and the blonde hair. I saw it on something that I wonder if they were – I was thinking, I was I wonder if they were pissed off that Hogan stole that look or if Hogan would admit – to stealing, oh,
Rip
Michael
Rogers?
Hayes.
Michael Hayes. Yeah, they talked about that in the Andre the Giant documentary, didn't they? About how he got, maybe it wasn't the Andre the Giant documentary, how he got that look from somebody, though, that he got it.
Now, wait a minute.
Hayes had the Hold blonde on. White hair with the dark beard, and knowing how Michael Hayes is, I guarantee he thought Hogan was ripping him off when he was
Oh, now,
the,
come on.
What? Okay, are you going to tell me you know a lot of guys that have blonde hair and a dark beard?
Well, if you dye your hair blonde...
Well,
and
we don't know a lot of guys that dye their hair blonde, do we?
Ric Flair.
Well, I'm blonde. What's left? My beard's...
No, but that's not blonde blonde. That's not Hogan blonde.
Really? Oh, well, okay, bleach. Why do you think he put the beard in? He was a bad guy.
Okay, well, since the mid-90s, we're all about the old stereotypes.
To him, it was. To everybody else, it wasn't.
Exactly. To Michael Hayes, it wasn't.
Oh, my God.
I bet Hayes was pissed about it. I'm serious.
We'll talk about it next week.
All out.
And I'll just shut you down at every turn, because that is the worst take I've ever heard, Skip. Yes.
Or Zip.
Or Zip. Skip or Zip.
So who do you think he took it from?
I think he just fucking put a beard on to make himself look like a bad guy.
Hogan lover.
So who, see, I always thought you were talking about it originally. Where did he get the look from? Because they said
Billy Graham.
Billy Graham. That's it. See, I wasn't aware
so
you were talking about when he healed.
Everything from the look to the
promo.
Brother.
Everything, yeah.
Just
eating steaks and barbell plates and all that.
I mean, and then even later, like he took the tie-dye whenever he started doing the red and yellow
long tie-dye and the boas and all that shit.
Yeah.
There's a lot to talk about.
Fraud. Yeah.
Talk about look. Talk about him banging Elizabeth, Miss Elizabeth.
He did not. Okay. Didn't happen. Right. Guarantee it didn't happen.
We'll find out.
You got inside information.
We've got all the answers
Pray,
next week.
Say your prayers.
Next week here on Surreal Talk. Train. I mean, Three Horsemen.
Vitamins. Eat your vitamins.
Eat your vitamins. Say,
you
your,
say
prayers,
your prayers,
brother.
Brother,
he wouldn't cheat.
Yeah. Well, we're gonna find out next week.
Cheat. No, of course not.
Big gigantic.
Him and swinging
Before
Linda.
He was married,
you know,
dude.
She just sued him again.
Again?
Again.
For what?
So she ran out of money.
Because she says he's hiding money. So now she's going
well,
after
just
his
just won how much money from Gawker. I'm sure he
oh,
is
no.
hiding
She's
money.
Saying he's tied it up in other businesses, four places in Nevada and six restaurants or whatever. She's fucking insane.
She's probably right, though.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
she's still insane.
Why wouldn't you if you're Hogan?
Bischoff, she took 60% of his shit.
I was listening to some of Conrad and Bischoff last night, and Bischoff is such a douchebag. He yes. literally goes out of his way to go. Like, Conrad's talking about a quote in Hogan's book, and Bischoff goes, Hulk Hogan's my best friend in the wrestling business. Hulk Hogan's the best friend out of the wrestling business. Hulk Hogan is my best friend to this day.
Yeah, we get
he
it.
He is my best friend.
Hulk Hogan.
Hulk Hogan. Hey, if any of my friends growing up spoke about me that way right now, mm-hmm. they wouldn't be my friend anymore. It'd be creepy. It was weird to hear him like, Hulk Hogan's my best friend. He was my best friend. He was my best friend in wrestling. He is my best friend to this day.
Yeesh.
Ooh, okay. Dick suck much?
Oh, wow.
Somebody's got money.
Speaking of swingers, Bischoff and...
His wife.
DDP.
Well, that's the rumor.
Yeah.
Do you know about that?
No, no. Jesus. Let me hear it.
Yeah, we're just going to do a conspiracy episode for you.
Hey, I love it.
Conspiracies /
did you know that Sean Walton
shit stupid rumors?
He doesn't know about Xbox shitting in Sable's bag.
Wow, that's great. That's not a rumor. Hmm. That actually happened.
No, that happened.
That's
actually
fucking beautiful.
Definitely happened.
He admitted to that.
Your buddy Daryl's going to be fucking pissed with your performance today.
Yeah, he'll be all right.
I'm pretty sure the show already ended.
Probably. We're probably
we're just
literally
sitting around talking for no reason.
Now.
I'm out of here.
Oh, no. We're closing out. Okay. That does it for cage matches. What? Is that what this was? We're getting out of here. We'll be back next week. It's the Hulk Hogan Super Podcast for you. We're just going to talk all things Hulk Hogan because we want to and we can. And
some more gay porn.
That's right, brother.
And
hard body here.
We'll talk about Hulk Hogan's porn.
We'll talk about
full circle.
We'll see.
Yeah, he does have porn too. Yeah,
I know.
He of course says, "I know. I own it. I watched it. I bought it."
Me and Gawker. All right.
Oh, shit.
That does it for the Three Horsemen. Everett will be back next week. We'll be five out of the three. We'll be back next week. For Alex, for T.O., for Eric, for me, Corey, we are out of here. We'll see you guys next week.
Bang, bang! Bang, bang!
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.